Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Thursday, May 29, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Warit Ahmed, and we've got a packed show for you today. We're going to be discussing Dubai Residential REIT's big debut and IPO. Secondly, UAE citizen Pavel Durov and Elon Musk have signed a $300 million cash deal to bring XAI's Grok to Telegram. Thirdly, Saudi fintech Stitch has raised $10 million to expand across the MENA region and East Africa. And finally, this is big news, Syria is to reopen its stock market starting June 2nd.
The very first story of the day, the very big story of the day, Dubai Residential REIT, which we've covered a lot because it's one of the biggest REIT IPOs in the Middle East ever. It's made a strong debut on the Dubai financial market, soaring 15.5% to AED 1.27 on Wednesday. That's the single share price. The listing follows a $584 million IPO that was 26 times oversubscribed, one of the most in-demand offerings in the region this year.
Now, backed by Dubai Holding, the REIT initially planned to offer 12.5% of its shares, but raised that to 15% due to the overwhelming investor demand that they experienced. Now, the IPO valued the real estate investment trust at $3.9 billion and includes a projected dividend yield of 7.7%. Now, it has promised payouts of 1.1 billion dirhams in September 2025 and again in April 2026. These are really big numbers here.
The strong stock market debut signals continued investor confidence in Dubai's real estate sector, especially at a time when other local REITs like Emirates REIT and ENBD REIT continue to struggle. Dubai Residential REIT's large and diversified portfolio, which consists of 35,700 residential units and 1,731 retail units, helps set it apart.
Now, the IPO also comes amid a broader property market boom. Ihmar Properties and Ihmar Development posted first quarter profit jumps of 27% and 48% respectively. Meanwhile, the Value Strat Dubai Price Index hit a record high of 214 in April, more than double its January 2021 level.
With 21.6 billion dirhams or nearly $5.9 billion in assets under management, Dubai Residential REIT now ranks as the region's largest real estate investment trust. The focus now shifts to whether it can deliver on its yield promises and sustain long-term returns. The success of this listing may also pave the way for more REIT IPOs across the Gulf. It's a very big story because not to like say something bad happened in Saudi, but Saudi Arabia saw another IPO. It was United Cartons, and it fell flat on the first day, and it listed on the same day as Dubai, this Dubai Residential REIT, and it didn't do well. And it was the first IPO after Trump had announced its tariffs. So it was the first IPO after Trump announced tariffs in Saudi Arabia on Tadawul, and it didn't do good. So this one doing good was a better story to cover because obviously.
And actually, Majid, like that brings me to my point, and it's kind of developing on what you're basically saying. Investors in the UAE, investors in Dubai specifically, are not shaken by what's going on with the market. They're not shaken by Trump. They're not afraid of whatever Trump is up to. And that really does tell you that the UAE is going to continue being unaffected, as like many industry leaders here said, like Hussein Sajwani, Damax Hussein Sajwani. So I, you know, that does bring me a lot of hope that, you know, we're going to be good. I think that we're the part of the world that stands out.
If you go more deeper into this, you also realize that I think the problem with Saudi IPO, the United Cartons IPO, they're a manufacturing and development plant kind of a company which deliver manufactured products. And manufacturing has suffered because of the tariffs, because tariffs made the raw material expensive. I think with real estate, thankfully, real estate is booming, still booming, will continue booming. There is no chance that it's going down. So I think it's more of that also. And yes, but to be honest, people's trust in UAE right now and people's trust in Saudi, it's at the same level.
Yeah.
But I think when you come to Dubai specifically in UAE, people have more trust in anything that Dubai
and
does.
That's true. And they also have a lot of trust in Dubai's citizens. And there is no one more than Pavel Durov, the UAE citizen and Telegram founder, that people have trust in. So basically, he went on to X to announce this major partnership with Elon Musk's artificial intelligence company, XAI. It's a $300 million cash deal, which will bring Grok, XAI's AI chatbot, to over a billion Telegram users. This is really big news.
Yeah, and Telegram will receive $300 million in cash and equity from XAI as part of the agreement. Additionally, the messaging app will get 50% of the revenue from Grok subscriptions. So if you subscribe to Grok and if you pay $30, $15 will go to Telegram, if you do it through Telegram. And if they're sold directly through Telegram, obviously. The partnership is expected to significantly boost Telegram's bottom line, and they did profit for the first time, right?
And in 2024, Telegram reported $1.4 billion in revenue, up from just $343 million in 2023. Now, it also posted its first ever annual profit of $540 million after recording a $173 million loss in 2023. I mean, that's such a great difference. And I think the fact that these numbers stand out, it's because this man got arrested. He got arrested in France in 2024 in August. And it's the fact that despite all of his legal troubles, his company continues to shine.
I think that was no marketing is bad marketing holds true.
No, literally.
It was in the news
everywhere.
Yeah. The deal could provide XAI, which acquired X earlier this year, which was formerly Twitter, with valuable data to train and develop its AI models. Analysts say the integration could also reshape how messaging apps adopt generative AI at scale.
And UAE citizen Pavel Durov isn't actually the only regional name that's tied to XAI, I think. What's interesting is that Saudi billionaire, the richest man in the Middle East, actually, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, is XAI's second largest shareholder. You also have Qatar Investment Authority, Oman Investment Authority, and Damac founder Hussein Sajwani, who also confirmed that they are investors in XAI. I think it's crazy how they're all. I don't think they're just investing in XAI. They're investing in the man himself, and that's Elon Musk.
That's the most important part. You invest in the man, not in the product. It's a very nice theory in business that you look at two things. Either you look at the founder and see if they're ambitious. For example, if like Jeff Bezos in its early times, all these big guys, Bill Gates. Mark Zuckerberg, anyone, if they didn't play their gamble on the man, they wouldn't have cashed out so much money. A lot of people believed them and trusted them and gave them the money to do whatever they have built now, billion-dollar empires. So yeah, you sometimes invest in the man and sometimes you invest in the product. So I think with products, if I want to give an example right now, I would be investing in OpenAI because the product is very strong. Sam Altman, I like Elon Musk more. I don't know, personality-wise, he has more flair. Sam Altman is a little monotone guy, talks in a single tone. Elon Musk has that crisp comments and everything. We saw that recently, his interview with the Bloomberg journalist at the Qatar Economic Forum. But yeah, product-wise, I would say OpenAI is the best product in the recent time which people are investing in. But personality-wise, what is 100% correct? Musk is the guy everyone is betting on.
Yes, he is. And right now, the startup scene in Saudi Arabia is being betted on very heavily. Basically, Saudi-based fintech infrastructure startup Sitch has raised $10 million in a seed round to fuel its expansion across the Middle East and East Africa. Now, the round attracted top investors. You have Arbor Ventures, COTU Ventures, Riyad Ventures, and Saudi Venture Capital Company, alongside other family offices and angel investors.
Stitch was founded in 2022 by Mohammed Ueda. Stitch offered a unified API-driven platform that helps banks, fintechs, and enterprises launch financial products up to 80% faster than traditional systems. That's the claim. And the startup aims to simplify how digital banking and payment solutions are built in emerging markets.
And the funding comes amid strong growth in Saudi Arabia's financial sector, where banking assets have topped $1.1 trillion and digital payments surged 75% between 2019 and 2021. Globally, the banking and financial services industry is projected to grow to over $220 billion by 2033, driven by rising demand for digital transformation.
And Stitch's client base already includes big names like Lulu Exchange, Foodix, and Dar Al Tamlik. The company is expanding beyond Saudi Arabia and the UAE with new clients in East Africa, starting with Kenya.
And investors say Stitch's local-first, globally competitive model sets it apart. So the deputy CEO of SVC, Nora Al-Sarhan, called the firm a key player in building a resilient financial ecosystem. With this new funding, Stitch plans to actually grow its team, enhance its platform, and set a new benchmark for financial infrastructure in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Very nice startup. There's a lot of startup stories coming. Actually, if you're listening, we have this newsletter. Now, every Tuesday, we've included a section where we'll put all the startup fundings from the whole week or month. Sometimes there are weeks where we don't have any startup news. So we'll keep that updated. So if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, you're missing out on all the fundings. And if you have a startup, it's a very nice idea to know which startups got funding. Because if you're anywhere related to their field, if you're a fintech startup and a fintech startup recently got funded, you can look at their investors and be like, these are the guys investing in fintech right now. I can go and pitch to them. So it's very nice to stay updated on that. Our newsletter, every Tuesday, you'll see a startup section of who got how much money from whom. So last story of the day, biggest story of, to be honest, since yesterday I have read it, I'm very happy. Because markets and capital markets are one of the core pillars of looking at an economy and seeing that they're doing good. And Syria will reopen its stock market on June 2nd, next month, nearly there, following nearly a six-month halt. The announcement came via state news agency Sana, which is S-A-N-A, citing Finance Minister Yasser Barney. Trading was suspended on December 5, 2024, as authorities sought to evaluate the financial and operational standing of listed companies.
So the Damascus Securities Exchange had been shuttered amid growing uncertainty in the country's financial sector, coinciding with its widespread political changes. So at the time, officials stated the suspension was necessary to safeguard investors and allow for internal reviews of corporate performance and compliance.
And the reopening comes after a dramatic shift in Syria's political landscape. In December, rebel forces ousted former President Bashar al-Assad. We should say former rebel of forces, because now they're the ruling party, after more than two decades in power, marking the end of an era and raising new questions about Syria's economic direction.
So Finance Minister Yasser Barney, speaking from Damascus earlier this month, said the resumption of trading reflects the country's efforts to stabilize financial institutions and restore investor confidence. And, you know, he described it as such a critical step for their recovery, and we also saw this in how they got their SWIFT codes.
And the June 2 reopening is expected to attract both local and regional investors watching closely for signs of reform. Analysts say the move could signal a broader push by Syria's transitional authorities to revive key sectors and re-engage with the international financial community.
I think just in general with the story, Majid, it's just been very exciting to see the amount of change that has following Donald Trump lifting the sanctions from Syria on his Gulf tour. Things are really changing around, and we're definitely going to see more. Just very recently, they hosted their construction conference in 10 years, in a decade. Can you imagine? And the turnout was actually really good. There was a lot of Russian companies, Chinese companies, Turkish companies. So they have a bright future ahead. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms under Augustus Media. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.